Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
After that journey that we've been speaking about, when he arrived in Rome, it says he came to a place. I remember my Bible college lecturer saying it's funny that they said they took courage at a place called Three Inns. And if you live in England, you'll understand what that means. That it's a beer called courage. And it says that they came to a place called Three Inns and they took courage. But it wasn't that kind of courage they took. It was the courage that we're talking about today. And David was told that God was going to build a dynasty through him. He went before the Lord and he basically says, "Who am I, Lord? And I'm basically going to need your help." And he says, "So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer." When Asa, during a time of reform in 2 Chronicles 15, heard the words that came through the prophet Azariah, the Bible says he took courage. And I just love that picture of taking courage. And just imagine going shopping at your favorite supermarket this week and going down the aisle and imagine there was a package there that you could get, that you could take courage. I mean, you turn on the news, you read your newspapers, and it's full of bad news and fear-mongering and all that kind of stuff. And how marvelous it would be if you go into the supermarket and just take courage, or go into your computer and get a download of courage into our heads. And that's really what I believe God wants to do today here in this meeting, online, that he wants to give you a download of courage. He wants to put courage into you today, that you will be able to take courage. And there's many, many Bible verses where it says that people strengthened themselves or took courage. Christine Kane runs a ministry that rescues girls from sex trafficking. And she's written some great stuff about courage. And she says, "Do you have the courage to see with the supernatural eye of faith? Or do you just see current circumstances?" Thank God that being a believer means that we don't just have to look at current circumstances. We can see beyond these things. We can see to a God who's above all these things. We can take courage into our heart. It gets us up in the morning. It motivates us. It helps us. And she goes on to say, "Get up. It's time to get up and take another lap." The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So courage is visible. Courage is measurable. Courage is recoverable. And courage is developable or growable. You know, it can grow. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote, "The desire for safety stands against every great and noble enterprise." In other words, we are afraid to take that step of courage. But John Maxwell, the leadership expert, says, "But courage opens doors, and that's one of its most wonderful benefits." And he says, "Your life expands in proportion to your courage." And so if there's things against you today, perhaps God's just using this message online, in here, in person, to just encourage you to take courage, to make that decision that you know is the right decision, but it's going to cost you in terms of maybe a bit of security or whatever it is, but you take that step today. The Lord Jesus himself, the Message translation in Luke 9 and 39 says, "When it came close to the time for his ascension, going up to Jerusalem, he gathered up his courage and steeled himself for the journey to Jerusalem." I've been working on this message for a few weeks, and I've been looking up what people have to say about courage and the fact that we can choose courage. And someone says the antidote to fear is action, and it takes courage to do that. That's why Paul wrote in Corinthians, that I mentioned earlier, "Be men or women of courage." So how do we then grow our courage? Well, I think spending time with Jesus and his word, praying, getting the Bible, the verses in the Bible coming alive into our lives, helping us, strengthening us day by day. Major Tim Cross says, "Courage is fear that has been prayed over." And I like that. So when fear rises up, we can pray and say, "God, I need your strength. I need your power today." We need courage to be a witness for the Lord. And when we find ourselves witnessing and telling people about Jesus, we'll often find ridicule. I've found that all my life. But I've found as I do it that God gives me great strength. The Bible says that all those who seek to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I found it by sticking my head above the parapet and not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ and telling people I'm a believer and telling people what Jesus has done for me. As I've found opposition and challenge and ridicule at times, that God has put courage in me. And I've found Him bringing me through. And people that have ridiculed and laughed at me at times. One of my guys at work used to laugh at me. He used to bring me page 3 and ask me what I thought of that and tease me and torment me and all kinds of things. And one night I saw him when he was drunk, and he said to me, he says, "You know, I admire you." But up till that time, he'd only ridiculed you. When I worked in industry and had a bit of responsibility there, I remember one occasion, that same guy came to me and he said, "You're going to be asked to do something that'll be a challenge. It's going to be a real test of your faith because it involved doing something that was not right. It was not ethical in accounting practice." And I remember really praying about that and going down and asking God to help me. And then the day came when my boss called me into my office and this other chap was there, and he turned around and he says to me, he says, "Now this is what I want you to do." But as I looked at what he wanted me to do, arithmetically it was incorrect. And so I was questioning his maths. And he came back to me a couple of times and he says, "Do you not want to do it?" And I says, "Well, no." I says, I really don't want to do it. I says, "I'm a believer and I don't want to do it." So he turned around to my friend who had said to me, "This will be a real test of your faith." He says, "Will you do it?" And I thought, how marvelous. God brought me through that situation. And when you walk in obedience and you do the right thing and you are courageous and God helps you, then I've got strength in my inner being to know that God's come through for me before and He can do it for me again. I read a healthy diet of great books, great Christian books, and it put great Christian backbone into me. When I was a young believer, I read books like Through Gates of Splendor, the story of Elizabeth Elliot's husband and her men who and her fellow men who'd reached out to the Auca Indians in South America and were martyred for the faith. And remember how God gave her strength and amazing ability to write that book, or Vanya in the time of the communist persecution in Eastern Europe. Great books. It put great stuff inside me. And a greater understanding of who Jesus is and what He's done for us gives us courage to know that He loves us, to know that He cares for us. In the Old Testament, even the psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is a stronghold of my life." And he goes on to say, "He will not be afraid. Even if an army besieges him, even yet will he be confident." Just knowing that we can stand against all challenges and difficulties and trials, knowing the strength that God gives us as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the one who is dead but is alive forevermore. And when Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he prays that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened. And I believe God would want our hearts to be enlightened in order that we might know, as Paul says, the hope to which you've been called, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power at work in us who believe. Such marvelous truths that are there in a life. We have the honor, somebody said, of serving with post-resurrection courage. So courage is visible. Courage is measurable. Courage is recoverable. Courage is growable. And courage is essential. If we're going to do things for God, we do need courage, as I've said earlier. And John Maxwell says, "But whenever you see significant progress in an organization, it's because the leader made courageous decisions." Whether it's in sport, whether it's in some kind of a great adventure that you're on, whether it's a ministry that you're on, whether you're a school teacher, whatever it is, it takes courage. It took courage for Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. If we want to do God's will on earth, we need courage. When Jehoshaphat appointed his officials, he said to them, "Act with courage." 2 Chronicles 19. When Ezra led the exiles back from captivity in Babylon, back to Jerusalem, he says, "I took courage." And for the journeys that God wants us to take, we need courage. We need courage to witness, as I've said earlier on, and given examples of my own life. God had to come to Paul and settle him by an angelic visitation. I've never had one of them. I've told people I'm married to an angel, but I've never had an angelic visitation. But he says, take courage. As you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And so it takes courage. It takes courage not to go with the flow of gossip in your place of work. It takes courage to take a stand against some of the practices that goes on that you know are wrong at the Christmas party. It takes courage sometimes to reach out to the lonely and depressed. It takes courage sometimes to give when you don't have a lot, to take a stand for righteousness. And Paul prayed, he says, he prayed that he would have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. If we've got land to take, new adventures, just like when Joshua took the promised land, God spoke to Moses beforehand, and he spoke to Joshua. And if you were to read the end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua over and over again, you'll see these words, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Because all kinds of challenges and difficulties will come. If you're building God's house, or if you're building your own house, or building a ministry, you will need courage for that. God spoke to David and told him that. David then spoke to Solomon, be strong and courageous. You need courage when the enemy attacks and you feel down and you don't feel as if you're at your best, all kinds of things. Then you need to realize that God can come alongside and helps us. As it's been said, the Christian life is more like a battleground than a playground. But and the more we push forward in God, the more the enemy comes, but the more strength that God gives us to go through. And often the difference between where we are at and where God wants us to be is often the pain that we are unwilling to endure. And so we need to do that and move forward. There's a lovely verse when Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came against Hezekiah. And actually, there's evidence of that conversation is actually in the British Museum in Sennacherib's prison, or Taylor's prison, it's called. And when God spoke to Hezekiah, he says, be strong and courageous. He spoke out to the people, don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. And so we could go on. I could go on and on and on with biblical examples and examples from life. And you know them as well as I know them, whereas we need courage. Courage to take the right call. Sometimes we need the courage to stay when others would run. Sometimes we need the courage to go and give it up and trust God at other times. And we need courage to take the first step, and we need courage to take the next step, and we just need to go on taking courage. Andy Stanley says, God can handle the giant. God just needs a volunteer. And so all through the Bible, and to stand up for truth, people have needed courage in their life. And somebody said, we rarely regret the risks we take, but we almost always regret the opportunities that we miss. What's God calling you to do today? You know, if you run now, you may never stop running. What's God calling you to do? Is he calling you to take a stand for something today? And you know you should do it, and you've been finding yourself to be a bit fearful. Well, God's putting courage into you today. He loves courageous people. He's encouraging us, and there's many, many verses in the Bible. We want to finish well in our life. We want to go from strength to strength and from glory to glory. We want to pay the price in our generation that the people before us paid so that we could enjoy the privileges and the opportunities and the freedoms that we enjoy today. And finally and briefly, courage is transmittable or transferable. If you take a stand, you don't know who else might take a stand. You don't know who you might inspire today if you were to take that stand. Dr. Billy Graham says, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. And I love that. And I'm going to close with a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he made this incredible statement just a year before he died. He says, "You may be 38 years old, as I happen to be, and one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause, and you refuse to do it because you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You're afraid that you'll lose your job, or you're afraid you'll be criticized, or that you'll lose your popularity, or you're afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot at you or bomb your house. So you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live till you're 90, but you're just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death in the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You refused to stand up for justice." Friends, let's take this encouragement from what Paul says today. Twice in that passage that we read today, he says, "Keep up your courage." Can I encourage you today? Can I encourage you at home to keep up your courage? Keep up your courage for that second half. Keep up your courage because the rope has been lengthened and the race seems a bit longer. You know, courage is visible. It's measurable. It's recoverable. It's growable. It's essential and it's transferable. And I pray today that the ministry of God's word will have put encouragement into your heart.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.